Welcome back to Inside the Crisis Actors Studio. I'm your host, James Sweet Tea. And today we are joined by an actor who is a true master of his craft. A man who puts the word cry in crisis and can slide into a character as easy as putting on a pair of dungarees. Please welcome to the show, Timothy Garrick.
Thank you, thank you. Gracias, merci beaucoup.
Marvelous. You have been such a delicious staple on so many stages.
Almost every false flag and crisis stage of the last 25 years, so.
Brilliant! We, of course, know your work from the Las Vegas Strip. Several LGBTQ plus nightclubs and Florida high schools. But you first stole our hearts with the role of 18-year-old Connor Tilbutter, a young tourist in New York City, caught in the mix when the CIA used holograms to make planes that faked 9/11.
Yes, yes, I see. Some of you remember, thank you. That was my first big break, so a lot of people didn't know about Tower 7 until a little bit later. You know, it was very scary. It was rigged to explode, as we know, so.
Praise Tucker.
Yours and Carlson.
Since you are method, could we please talk to your character, Connor Tilbutter? Are you there, Connor?
Yes, but don't you see it?
See what?
The plane just hit the building! Oh man, the people, those real people are falling! Oh, there's the flames! No!
That was sensational. Yum, yum, yum. It made me feel as if I was back at 9/11, believing that it was real and not a totally planned, undeniable demolition.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Normal World. I'm Dave Landau.
I'm Quarter Black Garrett, and over there's Angela. Angela?
What up?
What? What's up?
Hello.
Just here, hanging out.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Did you have a pleasant weekend and Monday?
Yeah.
Great. That was
passive. I don't know if I believe it.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
We're not going to ask any further questions.
Sorry, I asked.
Yeah.
Simple fine.
I had to kill my dog.
Oh!
Wow, you would make a great VP.
Huh. Are you an actor? Named Alec?
Yes.
Did you film it?
Yes.
Oh. Hey, like and subscribe to this show right here and listen on the audio side. If you're an audio listener, you like those our sultry voices in your ear like this.
Are you listening?
Ooh.
Are you enjoying what you're hearing?
Ooh, give us a rating.
Leave a review.
Leave it.
Leave a messy review.
Ooh. Slathered.
A bit wet. Review.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Joining us today, you can see him tomorrow, that's Wednesday, May 1st, with me at the Dallas Comedy Club in Dallas, Texas. Which
come
would,
out.
It would only make sense. Come out to the show.
It would be weird if they named a comedy comedy store a Dallas Comedy Store, and it's not in Dallas.
It would be odd.
It would be very strange.
But it is right in Dallas.
Yeah, but this one is in Dallas,
and
you should come to it.
This weekend, May 4th, Phoenix, or technically Chandler, but it is Phoenix, Chandler, Arizona, at the Chandler Performing Arts Center, and May 11th in Billings, Montana. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Derek Richards.
Ow. Wow. I like that pomp and circumstance. Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Yeah, don't ask me. It's fine.
It's lumped in as the group.
No, it didn't feel that way.
QB, how are you doing, man?
Oh, it's late. Moments passed.
Wow.
Just introduce the next guest.
Rude.
Okay. Right. You know him as the lectern guy, crisis actor Adam Johnson.
Hey guys, what's up? Hey, the door was open. I just walked right in.
Yeah. We have very loose security these days. It's crazy.
Yeah. They actually told you to come in.
They did, that's and no one's asked me to leave yet, so I'm going to stay until it happens.
Yes. Okay. They had some new footage this week I saw that get leaked. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah, they leased, it was my video, actually. I haven't seen it. It's been over 3 years, and that video just came out.
Of you casually walking inside where you're allowed.
Yep, about less than 2 minutes with the lectern and never left. And would have been nice if that video came out initially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like before you were wrongfully jailed?
Before I went to prison, yes, that would have been nice. Yeah.
So you never saw this footage
before?
Having
a good time.
No, I've never seen this footage. I saw a couple of still images. So people are saying it's a Brady violation. It's exculpatory evidence. Wasn't provided. So who knows? I'm sure the government will prosecute themselves.
I don't know what those things mean.
Well, I think what it means is he's innocent and it proves it.
Oh. Well, I think I already knew that.
But again, it probably won't be brought up in the court of law by the court of law.
No, why would you want justice being executed by the Department of Justice?
Come on.
That's get asking way too much of the government.
Fiction.
Get out of town.
I know.
Shenanigans is what I call it.
Well, you wouldn't put your friends in prison, you know?
Well,
maybe.
Depends.
A couple friends of mine, yeah.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. It depends on the day.
Is it me?
It's so funny. We're actually cycling through our heads and thinking of which friends we'd put in jail.
I have a Batman shirt on.
Huh? He's a criminal, technically.
He's trying to win your favor, and you shun him like that?
I know.
I do appreciate that.
I would do anything for you.
Where'd you buy that, Target?
It was a gift from Matt McClowery.
From Target.
From my daughter-in-law.
Oh, she bought it?
I know,
that's like a child. How'd she do that?
Yeah, she's like a baby.
She got like a job and stuff?
I guess she makes tennis shoes in China.
Nobody works here in the States. Might as well put that kid to work.
Well, yeah, you can't get a job here as a kid. Supposedly wrong.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's illegal.
You can work on an island if you want.
Yeah.
That's true. There is one. There's one job.
Or set up a Palestinian camp.
There's one.
And get paid from George Soros, but whatever.
Foot.
Yeah.
What's that?
You can set up a free Palestine camp and get paid by George Soros.
Good Lord. What's going on with all
that? Dude, the universities, I find it interesting. It's very entertaining.
That gay men
are all just
and transgender people are saying free Palestine.
Yeah. There's that.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because they're for that.
Yeah. Historically, it's the best place to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're one of those.
They can like go to Palestine and shout it from rooftop how proud they are.
Yeah.
See how that turns out.
Mm-hmm. They escort you to those locations so you can do that.
Escort you to the rooftop and then subsequently throw you off.
Yeah.
Yes, and blocking Jewish people from going to class. I think that's just, you know, great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's total. That's great behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, California, and your wonderful upstate. I'm not sending my kid to college.
No way.
It's done. College is done.
No friggin' way. No.
You don't even need it anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Trade school. Go learn a real job.
Oh, by the way, you just graduated from college.
Congratulations.
Oh, hey, congratulations. You know, it takes a lot.
You just got done talking about this before the show.
Well,
congratulations.
You actually do have a good, you did, but that is a thing. I don't want to degrade it.
It's, you know what, it's a piece of paper that I'll probably use to roll a cigar with.
Well, that's fair.
It probably has a use.
Well, I think it's a good thing that you graduated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you protesting over the weekend, preventing Jewish people from getting into a classroom?
I was not. I actually did all of my classes online because I just didn't want to be on the campus.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Smart.
Remember when part of going to college was just the drinking and having fun and being irresponsible?
Mm-hmm.
And if you really protested, it didn't actually mean anything?
Now it's just protesting and being annoying.
Nobody did when I was in college.
They used to burn bras. It used to be good. Mm-mm.
That's a good protest.
Mm-hmm.
I can get behind that protest. Burn all the bras.
We convinced them that was feminism.
Yeah, bras suck.
Take your shirt off. Get rid of the evidence.
Yeah.
Get rid of that piece of fabric holding your titties up.
Nobody likes those.
Sling it into fire.
Who agreed? Who agreed that women should start doing that? Did women like it?
Yeah. When you say that, you're like picturing like really perky boobs, right?
No. It wasn't good.
I'm fine with natural. I love natural, you know, just as God intended.
It's a lot more John Goodman gravity. Kind of boobs.
Yeah, it was very...
Flapjacks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big old...
National
that's
Geographic.
Not what I'm, yeah,
the kind of nipples that take up most of the breast.
Flap.
Like a dinner plate.
Just a lot more batter on the pancake.
Man.
Just a whole bunch of no good nicks without their shirts
There's
on.
There's nothing wrong with those.
We did have a conversation about this. What is the acceptable size of an areola?
For a man, I hope they're dinner plates.
You know, like, is that normal? I feel like that's normal.
For a woman?
Yeah.
What the?
Like it's like a silver dollar pancake.
I think it's a ratio thing. It's like a 1 to 5.
Yeah.
1 to 5 or like 1 to 4.
Too small. That's weird.
I think
it's like a pinprick.
But you can't have an areola that big on a tiny set of boobs.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. When it looks like your old nipple.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you got here? What are you, a this lamb?
Which is super hot to say to a girl when you take her shirt off.
Yeah, just
like, what are you, a lamb?
Yeah, what have you been feeding your litter all day?
He's sponsored by Boar's Head.
The protesters in the university are like, lamb.
Yeah, we'll do it.
What?
You say goat?
Not. I think that if a woman is kind enough to show you hers, you should be thankful.
Appreciative.
Yes.
You shouldn't be judging.
Agree.
That's the take, yes.
And don't call her a lamb.
No. I'm kidding. I think that you're, just because your breasts belong nowhere except National Geographic doesn't mean that you're a freak show. And I'll say that right to you.
At all.
I'll say, listen,
yes.
You weird titted monster. You can get anything off the left side of the menu under appetizer.
I love that you, like, looked at Garrett.
Why, why'd you look at
me? He's the one that held up his big old dinner plate nipples and said, is this normal?
It's normal.
It's normal to feed a pack of 12?
You can see this. That's normal.
On you?
Yeah, right here.
That's insane.
Are you? Is this not normal
for a guy?
You don't have nipples like this?
No.
No.
Why would a man have?
I don't either.
I think you do.
Now that it's weird.
Big dessert plate nipples.
What? Don't we have topics to talk about?
I think you ruined.
Not anymore.
I think your family doesn't want to go to the pool with you. Like, there's dad and his weird nipples.
Why does he never take his shirt off?
Wow. Why is that? He always wears a black shirt to the pool. Dad in his tuxedo, his swim tuxedo.
It's not even his black shirt. That's just his nipples that cover his whole chest.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
Did Dad get messed up radiation?
Is that the quarter black part? Just your giant areolas?
Oh, my God.
Quarter dollar.
That's where they showed up.
The half dollar nipples.
Yeah. They're full dollars.
They're full. The sand dollars.
Sacagaweas.
You can spend them.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Mine are probably no good. I've never looked at my nipples and thought I was blessed. Men's nipples are no good anyway, but
why do you have them?
Because you start out as a female in the womb.
Get out of here.
It's true.
What? Cancel her. It's cancel true. Her. Canceled.
That's a Dr. Steve.
Canceled.
You what start you? Out as a lady?
What are you yes. woke?
All fetuses start out with the same. Yeah. That's why you have nipples.
Well, that explains all my thoughts. What? So Jerry Seinfeld. Wow, he turned 70 yesterday.
Yeah,
he looks good.
Making me feel like a teaser
for 70.
He looks really good for 70. I'd have to say.
It's all the millions and millions of dollars.
Is that what does it? Yeah, makes you look young.
Turns out that it helps.
It makes you happy. Yeah, it just whisks the age off of you.
It gives you a glow.
Yes,
you know, a certain glow that says I have a airline hangar full of Porsches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turned 70 and addressed the state of comedy in an interview on David Remnick's The New Yorker Radio Hour. Boy, that sounds boring.
All right. Yawned. Sounds horrible.
Yeah, Seinfeld rallied against the apparent death of TV comedy, blaming the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. He's right.
Totally
he continued,
right.
When you write a script at... and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, and whatever. Here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. Do we have a clip?
No.
No, actually, no. I don't think they released that part. No. It's just,
oh, they didn't?
Just all audio, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. So not really, we don't have a clip?
It was a radio show, yeah.
It was a radio show.
Oh, we don't have, really? I sent in a clip.
You mean the TikTok one?
Yeah.
There's a TikTok. Oh.
I did not get the TikTok.
We didn't get the TikTok.
No.
I should look at these things.
Oh.
Well, anyway, I have to agree with him, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's the biggest problem with any TV. A sitcom has to be the most awful thing to produce now.
Oh.
Because you have to...
They don't produce them anymore. Like, when is the last time you thought of a sitcom that wasn't like a WB... low bargain bin version of a sitcom. Like there's nothing that's pushing the bar. There's nothing. And Jerry said that. He was like, back in the day, people would get home and they go, we're all sitting around the TV and watching
Cheers,
or we're watching All in the Family, or we're watching Seinfeld. That's what my family did. You just don't do that anymore.
Well, and everything had a bit of a reverence to get your attention.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a certain, I guess you'd call it clickbait now, but Married with Children became famous because a woman in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, was so offended by an episode where they're at a sex store, like a lingerie store, and Steve is checking out one of the mannequins and touches, like, the nipple.
Right.
And so she wrote into Fox, which then made national news. Fox wasn't even on the map yet. So that's kind of what exploded the show, because people were like, wait, what is this show about? And then Married with Children became this monster, which then put Fox on the map as an actual contender.
Right.
Like, that kind of stuff blew up networks.
Yeah.
Like, and now they, like, how do you write a show when you go, okay, how do we please everybody by not offending them and make it funny? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I think the last decent sitcom was Modern Family.
And that's a really good pilot. I read that years ago. Like,
right.
That was... 20, wow, 11, 2010.
Yeah, I was going to say
maybe earlier
or something, maybe like that.
Bernie Mac show was decent.
Yes.
No, so they were some. I grew up in the golden era, man. We had TGIF, Step by Step. It was Family Matters. You waited until to get to these things, and that was the time you spent with your family.
And then the Thursday block for us, too, was The Simpsons, which eventually moved to Sunday. But you had Martin, The Simpsons, that was Living Single was on that.
Living Single.
But then Sunday night you had The Simpsons, Parker Lewis Can't Lose, Herman's Head, Married with Children. There was an amazing Chris Elliott show, which only lasted two seasons, which was Get a Life, which was brilliant. Like, there was a lot of great shows that were just based on irreverence.
Yeah.
And none of it now. Even the Ben Stiller show only lasted a season and then won, like, every Emmy imaginable and, like, every award, but it only lasted a year.
Mm. You just don't see them ever again. There are the strange ones that do come up, and they have, like, eight seasons, and I've never heard of them.
Right.
And they're like, this is the final season of, whatever. I'm like, where did this come from? Who is watching this? I don't know who is watching it.
Bob Hart's Abishola.
Oh, yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
Billy Gardell one.
Yeah, Bob Abishola was on for five seasons, apparently.
I had no clue.
No, and Mike and Molly was on for six, which I was shocked.
Yeah.
I say that as your friend, Billy. I didn't know.
Now, Always Sunny, would that qualify as a sitcom?
I would say, but FX has always done some really great original programming.
It's totally a sitcom, yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely, but that also came out a long time ago.
What was it?
Yeah, and it's still going, and it's
Always
still funny.
Sunny in Philadelphia. It's still dangerous every season.
It's like Seinfeld on 11, you know, like they turned it up. They turned all the horrible people in Seinfeld and made them even more horrible and like ridiculous. So that is one that's still going, that is still funny.
That's why I'd like to see some of the scripts.
They got grandfathered in. Like they were already going. They already had the audience, that built-in audience that they're looking for. So they can't lose by just continuing to give them a season.
Yeah. I think it's getting even worse, though, than not even making new comedy. They're also removing episodes off of streaming services.
Yes.
So with including the advent of no longer having physical media, you have all these streaming services, digital. These things are getting tossed out by the wayside as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got some great writers on these shows. And I mean, I'd love to see what the original script was on some of these sitcoms that are now being, you know, crapped on that we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure some of the original scripts looked fantastic, written by, you know, a handful of comedians, comedic writers. And then all of a sudden, let's run it through the woke filter. And then like, oh, this is not even close.
That's the problem. You have your writer's room, and then the writer's room goes to the producers, and the producers take it to a focus group, and then the focus group goes to, you know, and then you've just got, like Jerry said, it goes through filter after filter after filter, and by the end, it's just Sheldon. Do you ever watch that show?
Oh, no. God. Young Sheldon? Oh, good Lord, no.
It's the most milquetoast crap. There's nothing irreverent, nothing wild happening anymore. I think it's kind of swinging back the other way, though. Like, even Jerry saying this, even though he has said stuff like this in the past and being anti-woke, it's I feel like we're in a different time. We're post-woke, where we're slowly, they're going to be mad. They're still going to be making their crap for a while, because, you know, Hollywood still works in 2 years behind, right? But I think culturally, people are like, we're just bored. We don't want to see this anymore. We're tired.
I think what I would say to that is, you know, I want to hear somebody come out and say to Seinfeld, no, everything that we're producing is amazing. What are you talking about?
That's what they pretend.
Nobody's combating what he said.
Well, no, because he's gone to HBO and seen Larry David do it with Curb. But that's, you know, you have to go to these other properties.
Grandfather
Man
as well.
Yeah, they're willing to take a risk, which are the ones that are just going to survive. I mean, I don't understand how any of these channels think they're going to even be a contender or even still are. They have to be pretending at this point.
Right.
I mean, and it's not really a new statement, like John Cleese, Dave Chappelle, Jimmy Carr, Ricky Gervais. They've all had these comments, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've all been passionate about cancel culture. And it, you know, Seinfeld's humor isn't even that risque.
It's not.
But I mean, at the time it pushed the envelope a little bit, but they tab danced around everything where you could watch it with your family and that you wouldn't really know.
Yeah.
And now they don't even do that, to where there's just, oh, some jokes for adults, some for whatever, you know. It never, I don't know. It's very odd. So, you know, he's got even tempered observations, no politics, very little bad language.
Right.
You know, and he's the one who's talking about cancel culture, basically ruining the sitcom.
Right.
The guy who starred in, with the exception of, I think, Everybody Loves Raymond, the most successful sitcom of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, internationally.
Correct.
I think Raymond is the number one.
Yeah, Raymond's number one because it appealed to everybody everywhere about having domineering parents living in your backyard.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if sitcoms are going to survive. They may go the way of the dodo. Same thing with movie theaters. Like, we're seeing the same exact thing happening in movie theaters. I went to The Mummy with my son for his birthday, and that was more packed than any movie I'd seen that recently released in theaters. Almost every single time. And I'm going on like Thursday night, Friday nights, nights that are busy, should be busy, empty. Empty theaters, there's like one other person in there. It's like a ghost town in these movie theaters. But The Mummy, something that people know is good, that had a packed theater.
Demographics in that, was it families? Was it like people like you with kids?
Yeah, it was all kinds. It was young teenage girls came together as a group. There was families in there. It was everybody you could think of. So that's something that people still wanted to go see. But if there's a new movie coming out, nobody goes and sees it.
Yeah, there's definitely a drive towards nostalgia. You know, I think people are looking at what their parents had and what they said they had and like, why don't we have that?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to go out and do those more communal things and not let it be taken away from us. I think people have been sort of scared into doing things like that, or scared from doing things like that. And I love taking my kid to the movies. It's one of my favorite things. And that was one of the things I loved doing with my dad. And I think it's an important thing culturally that we don't just lock ourselves inside and pay $38 to watch the new Dune.
Right. Dude, the 12 o'clock, 1201 showings on a Thursday where you all get together, you're all standing in line, you all want to watch that movie. Well, I'm watching Batman. We're waiting to watch Batman. So you're talking about it and you're all hanging out. You're getting popcorn. You're throwing it around. Then you get in the theater. Like, that was an experience. And then it went away. And that's because the theaters did it. Theaters took it away. And with this, the pandemic that happened and nobody went to the movies anymore, I think it completely shot it. It was already on its way out just as a thing to do. Cause I watched it. I worked at a movie theater over 10 years and I watched it go from every single day during summertime being completely packed, lines out the doors, to slowly being less and less every year. And then 2020 just killed it.
Yeah, well, AMC was one of the ones, right, with GameStop. It was on its way out.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why they shorted it, because they knew it was going down.
And it's a shame, but I mean, yeah, COVID shootings, there's a lot of stuff that made that happen.
Right.
Yeah. And in Hollywood itself. I really do think that when you do make stuff like Dune, you do make stuff like The Mom, as long as it's good, I do think that there is an enjoyment of the big screen, enjoying it with your families and friends. Was one thing that people don't enjoy, Drew Barrymore's talk show.
Oh my, good Lord.
I've never seen this talk show. I've only seen clips, and it's pretty horrific.
I mean,
it's a disaster.
She is gifted. have you seen her talk show? She will stare at a guest just
in their face.
Inches away after asking,
holding their hands.
Insanity, like, we all need a hug.
I think you need a hug.
Vice President Kamala Harris was on. Let's just, she asked if she'd be in many ways the mother of the country. We have a clip.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Bitches, you retarded.
Shows retarded.
Given her track record, she'd probably do better as out there as the stepmom.
Yeah. This is the only
stepmomala.
It's the only time in all of the presidency of Biden that I have actually felt bad for Kamala Harris. She's actually sitting back in the chair like, oh.
Just like physically, like, oh, what?
Just look at how uncomfortably close Drew Barrymore is to her. That is just so creepy.
Dude, she's leaning.
Look at that.
The couch is huge. Get over there.
And once she asks, Kamala goes back in her seat and is like, I don't know what to do by this.
Kamala became sentient in that moment and was like, this is cringe. I'm cringe. This is all cringe.
Drew Barrymore was so much better when she was on drugs.
Well, you mean when
that's Hollywood. Hollywood was better when they were on
talk shows. When
she was
would
10?
No. I think he's referring
I'm
to
I trying
when,
to find some redeeming qualities.
I think when she was 18 and dancing on Letterman's table and taking her shirt off.
Thank you.
There
yes.
you go.
That's wild.
Like a gentleman.
Yeah.
And also when she was 10. I mean, when she was on drugs, she's doing coke with, like, the E.T. puppet at Studio 54.
I mean, you watch that clip of her and Kamala Harris, and you just wish that she was on the bike with E.T., and E.T. just kept flying to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like she took her
with
her. I got
him.
This picture of her with Dua Lipa on her show, and look at how far she's leaning.
Drew,
look at this.
In people's bubbles. Get out.
Wow.
So.
She really does have Stockholm Syndrome, though. I mean, these people who did this to her as a kid, she's now, like, rallying it for them and saying, hey, please be in charge.
Well, I believe
more people.
Well, her dad was, you know, a famous producer. And when you look at her, she has no idea how life works.
Right.
She's only known Hollywood and show business and L.A. And, like, imagine L.A.'s your home. That's your comfort.
Ugh.
You have no idea what anything is. Like her driving through Milwaukee or something, or just like anywhere.
The bathrooms are accessible everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, she that's can't. A yeah, she's positive. Like, yeah, yeah, that's true. But I can't imagine.
Historically, that's healthy. That's a healthy way to live.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's always good. Yeah. Like most of her friends are dead, and that's 10 minutes after she met them. Like, I can't imagine her whole life. Like, she's like, it's just everybody's.
Yeah, that's true.
It's this roller coaster. And even her, like, why would you give her a talk show? Like, yeah, you have no life experience at all with anything.
Have you seen that clip where she's remodeling her house and she uncovers a window that was bricked up? And she starts crying.
Not aluminum foil.
She's like, there's some mirror, there's this window.
It had sunlight.
And there's sunlight flying through it now. Because I uncovered it. It's like, you know, you've got problems and you need somebody to like talk to you about them.
Yeah, because her $5 billion mansion was covered by a bootlegger.
You used to make wash tub bourbon in this.
And I don't know what that means, but there's sunlight coming into my house now on these floors that...
Look at the rain. It's raining.
Yeah, when she went outside in the rain.
I can dance in the rain.
Of course you can.
Just dance in the rain, look up to the sky, open your mouth, and just keep drinking all the water until you just fade into the abyss.
She's still doing better than Britney Spears, though.
Oh, far better. I mean, she's...
Yes, oh, when that's true. Your comparison, sure.
Look, it's...
You're right. Or Amanda Bynes. She's also on the Britney Spears level of kind of like going a little...
Well, they both had a youth to some degree.
That's true. Not yeah, like they had they were like youth. Up to 10, and then after that, yeah.
She was in E.T. like 5 minutes after she said her first word.
Yeah.
You know, like she's her whole life is show business.
True.
Right. Which I guess keeps you grounded if you don't know any other way. It's like being chained to a radiator from birth. You're like, well, I'm kind of comfortable by the radiator.
It's kind of warm.
Yeah. I like the radiator.
You know, like you don't know any different. But if you did know some freedom... Then you're twirling knives in your underwear, you know, singing your hits.
You do that.
Well, yeah, but that's...
It's a Tuesday.
Pastime.
I don't record it on anything but my OnlyFans, which you can subscribe. It's called Shaven Daven.
Trim it up for the audience.
Yes, meow meow. Whiskers blisters.
Old Whiskers Lando.
Slip and slide.
Oh, there. Speaking of the D. Eminem. Nope.
Wait.
Eminem's new album?
Is it?
No.
What? That's not what we're talking about.
That's not.
We're talking about Stretch and Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, they look very similar.
They're at the same event.
Yeah, it's the same event. There were 775,000 fans in attendance at the NFL draft. Where everybody came to Detroit and realized why they took the midnight train going anywhere. It's fun because I did you love when people go to Detroit and then just go, it's really actually nice down there.
It's not so bad.
I hear that it's, you know, everybody said it was horrible. And it's like, you were just downtown.
Go to the neighborhood where I grew up, where my house is no longer there. Yeah. Can you? It's replaced by one child's shoe and a broken toy.
Or as they call it, a voter.
Yes.
And to with more that to announce the Giovanni Manu selection, is that his name?
I think it's Manu.
Manu?
Close enough.
Yeah.
Wait, I read menu.
Menu. The Giovanni Menu selection at number 126 overall. The Lions chose Michigan Governor Whitmer. Whose entrance onto the NFL draft stage was met with mixed crowd reaction. By mixed, they mean everybody was booing. Here we are.
To announce the Detroit Lions selection, please welcome Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, also known as Big Gretch. City is all about.
Oh my.
And they're like, shut up, bitch. Yeah. You suck. She's like, let me hear it.
I love them. I love that they didn't call her Stretch and Gretchen, but they called her Big Gretch.
Oh, Big Gretch.
That's a truck driver.
You know, she asked for names. No offense. Every single person boo and gave you the FBI. They're all going to be arrested for trying to kidnap her next week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Please welcome a woman who faked a kidnapping and was very loosey-goosey. Big Gretch.
Why would she accept that?
Even
if the NFL asks you to do it, why would you just not sit back and go, I'm not going to drive down there for that to announce it and to stand in front of all these people and get booed.
I don't think she knows.
Oh, I
don't think she knows at all.
She has to have a healthy amount of delusion to not think that she's hated by so many people.
And an even healthier amount of security.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that she's wearing the jacket that she's wearing. I'll tell you that much.
I thought that was a bulletproof
from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
It turns out when you kill a bunch of people's grandparents, they take it personally.
Yeah, who knew?
Funny that. Yeah.
Speaking of killing,
or the fact that you open more of those old folks' homes where you just hired Crip members to punch Nana in the face. I'm not like, how did they actually interview people? They were like, all right, and it says here, what do you think of Ben Stiller's character in Happy Gilmore? Do you think he was right? Anyway, sorry, you were saying?
Oh, no. Christy Nome. You know?
Oh, there was Gnome. Eminem.
No, is it Gnome?
I think
Christy Gnome.
Oh, well, I don't care. Okay. Well, she apparently got backlash over the weekend because she, in her memoirs, said that she had killed her dog on the farm, and people were mad about it.
Seems fair.
Yeah. Seems okay.
Well, what? You guys are saying it's cool?
No, I'm not.
That's down. I'm down with it.
You're down with that?
I'm kind of not
totally down with
that.
You're not down with it? I'm down with it.
She shot and killed it.
Oh, nice.
Gnome said since a shot collar didn't install the desired discipline, the reasonable thing to do was to kill the excitable and untrainable pup.
I feel that,
that was in the memoir.
I feel the same way about kids, but continue.
Well, you know, if your shock collar doesn't work, which is the first good sign of a pet owner, the untrainable pup. Untrainable.
It was like 16 months or something like that.
Yeah. If you can't train a dog when it's a puppy,
I don't want you running the country.
Put it out.
Put it down. I did see a lot of like over the top reaction to it. Because she was on the farm, which if you've ever been in the country or been on a farm or on a ranch, it's not that weird to have to put down an animal.
An old, sick animal. Yeah.
No. You can absolutely put down a young dog.
You can, but it seems evil.
Well, the dog was also attacking the neighbor's livestock, according to, in context. The dog was attacking the neighbor's chickens, I think.
Yeah, so the dog got out, it attacked their neighbor's chickens, it killed a bunch of them, it tried to bite her, I think, at some point.
Right. So you can,
You can.
This is a
farm.
Why
do you like kill dogs so bad?
I don't want to kill dogs, it's just normal. There's a lot of people that don't know what it's like to live in a farm or live out in the country. And they go, oh my gosh, an animal died. Even a pet. That's not weird. That's not weird at all. It's sad. It's very sad.
Dog, though. I don't agree with it.
Well, but if you're going to take that dog,
live on a farm,
what are you going to do at that point? So say the dog ends up biting her kid or bites her or keeps attacking livestock. Then you take it to a kennel. And they're going to
do?
They're going to put it down.
Well, I don't know if they're going to shoot it in the head.
I would rather them have to do it themselves.
I mean, that's sort of a lot.
I mean, a little...
It feels personal.
I would rather it be personal. You know? It's like, oh, like, hey, thank you for, I guess, biting my ass.
Well, it was in her book, right? She admitted to doing this. That's how we know this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
The crazy thing is she put it in her book. Hey, listen, I got some notes for you. Maybe don't mention killing a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't like that. They're not happy with that.
Or calling it a pup next to untrainable. Maybe you don't bring up the shock collar.
How about just leave those three pages out?
Yeah, maybe you don't say, maybe you don't bring up the learning whip.
She's having a Stephen King it moment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just live on a farm. Perhaps it's not weird. That stuff happens a lot. And it's more like on a farm, you don't, animals are you, their utility. You know, dogs have a purpose.
Right.
If they don't serve that purpose, then they can really mess up a lot of stuff on that farm. Like they can kill your other animals. They can kill your neighbor's animals. They right. can attack. If you can't train a dog not to attack, that's a problem. So it's just a different life living on a farm. And it's more close to nature and how nature works. And in nature, when something doesn't work the way you want it to work,
right.
they kill them. You know, so it's just how it is. It's not pretty. It's not nice. I don't like it.
They put dogs down happens. That attack other animals and kids and adults. They put dogs down.
Yeah,
I think
sad.
People are
yeah.
upset because she did it herself. And it's like, well, she didn't. What are you going to do, drive like 3 miles or 300 miles to the nearest pound?
I respect more. I absolutely respect more if you do it yourself than to go, oh, I have a problem. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm going to take it to a vet or a pound so they can do the thing for me, and I don't have to feel that thing. That's what it's like on a ranch. Is like if your horse hurts itself or it has a broken leg, you got to kill it. You got to put it down.
She also fed a horse its own broken leg for looking at her cross.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know,
that's some 1984 stuff, son.
I just like her approach. I
farms
think.
Still exist.
I just want to see how she handles the protests going on right now. She has no problem shooting an untrainable pup. I got no problem with her taking out some.
Oh yeah, if you want to send her
douchey 19-year-olds at a college campus.
Yeah, if you want to send her over to Berkeley,
yeah,
we can call it the Jews Get to Class Training Program.
You just put her in a clock tower, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we do it here in Texas. All right,
you're gonna be the watcher. I hear you're good with a shot. Just pretend they're all very young dogs. We know you hate them.
Just bark.
Pretend they're cute and can't defend themselves. They've all eaten a chicken. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. It sucks. Being city folk, you really don't shoot a dog unless it loses.
Oh, that's how they work in the old cities. Right. Respect.
That profitable Landau dog fighting ring that you had.
Listen, I've made a lot of money.
What was that dog fighting ring called again?
Landau Denandows. Pound Town.
Pound Town.
Bow Wow Pound Town. Yeah.
Also the name of a strip club in Detroit, too, yes, by the way.
Yeah, Pound Town has made me a lot of money.
That's a coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
It's they fight, too. We fight them.
Yeah, it's the Gaza striptease.
They just take the...
Just the face off.
Just the face off. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then you right see your hair? When you do you see that hair?
When you do, you get hit with a rock.
What a great name for a strip club in Dearborn.
No one's allowed to give you a dollar. They can just hit you with...
They go, no, give it to me.
Dearborn, it's Michigan strip club, the Gaza striptease.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cocktail waitress have a tray full of pebbles and boulders walking around.
Would you like to throw this at one of the ladies? Go to a private room, put her burka on.
Oh.
Have her look you in the eyes like Drew Barrymore close.
No, thank you.
Scoot closer to you.
Oh, Lord.
I think we need a hug.
We do.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Slim Shady. Yeah. It's his new album.
Mm-hmm.
He's announced a new album, The Death of Slim Shady. Oh. Hoop de Grace, which is also the name of my other dogfighting ring. Which will be released this...
Hoop de Grace.
Why is it... Why? It's like Coup de Ville, yeah. Like Coup de Grace.
Yeah,
like or coup de like gras, coup. Whatever.
Yeah, it's no, that's I not read, it.
See, that's the problem being...
Derek, how dare you?
I saw Coup de Grace.
How dare you say that?
God, I'm stupid. I thought it was Coup de... See, I read it like Coup de Ville.
He's from Detroit.
So am I.
You should know this, Derek.
I read it like Coup de Ville.
You should have read it exactly the same.
I read it like Cadillacs.
I can't believe you described
in our dreams, because we're going to be royals.
We could go Coup de Grace.
Can't believe I didn't say Coup de Grace. Well, I got to beep that.
Like and subscribe, please.
Some of you might be thinking, Lord. Did he actually know? I didn't.
I don't know. Honestly, you might be right because coup de grace is spelled G-R-A-S.
Oh, maybe we're the fools.
All right.
And maybe it's spelled G-R-A-C-E right there. That's grace.
Okay.
Coup de grace.
Ooh. And it's spelled like coup de and then like grace. Cadillac.
Got it.
And then in the next sentence down, which I didn't see next to it, it was the next sentence down, yep. It said grace.
Hey, don't get sassy.
God, you've been in a mood.
It's like coup de ville. Cadillac coup de ville.
That's the most tantrum-esque I've ever seen you.
Cadillac coup de ville is what I like.
Hang on.
What f***ed it up to? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I gotta bleep that.
Stop.
We gotta beat both those now.
Really? Dang it.
Someone's gonna have to stay late.
We're only trying to fix it because you f***ed us.
You, that's three.
Oh. Wait, you can't say that?
Oh, this bleep. No.
Can't say kill?
No, she said the GD.
You see, keep
who said? You said
I'm getting triggered over here.
Please don't.
Sorry.
All right, we don't need. Let's just get into this real quick.
Okay. Eminem sucks now. Sad.
I'm
still got skills, but we ain't showing them.
Ooh, what's we going should on? Talk about.
Let's
Howard
see the video.
Okay, we'll see the video.
Yeah. Through his complex and oft-criticized tongue-twisting rhymes, the blonde anti-hero known as. Has had no shortage of enemies.
He's not afraid. He's a psychopath.
The same rude lyrics and controversial antics may have ultimately led to his demise.
So who killed Slim Shady?
Join me as we recreate the events that led to the murder of Slim Shady.
I knew it was just a matter of time for Slim.
Oh.
So Marshall kills his...
alter ego.
Kills alter ego. Yep.
Yeah. But Slim Shady was the good one.
No, Slim Shady's the bad one.
I like Slim Shady better.
Please stand up.
I will not.
No, right?
I have a boner right now.
Speaking of... That's fair.
I just want to be honest with you guys.
It's why I bring a pillow on the airplanes.
Yeah, makes sense.
So people can't see my heart. All right, so Howie and Joe... Howard Stern, the once good broadcaster, interviewed Joe Biden over the weekend, and it turns out, to everybody's shock, Howard Stern owns a tie. Do we have any clips of this wonderful interview?
We have
where,
two.
Oh, Joe Biden is sucked off the entire time by Howard Stern.
Yes.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out.
God.
I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin. The incredible large growth in the jobs, unemployment rate down. I'll give
Look
you the greatest
like just,
hits.
Is he alive?
The lowest
He's
unemployment
confused.
Rate in history. Four
oh,
out of five
on.
Americans are
How
covered
the unemployment
for less than $10
down?
A month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you,
sure.
I don't know if you're going to debate your
this
opponent.
This is terrible.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts, but tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
This is supposed to be an entertainment show?
Who still listens to him?
I don't
Sounds
think
like Joe Biden.
Joe's response, by the way, and you're here, was about how they said they're going to free January 6th protesters and pardon them, and he can't believe it. And that he was supposed to do a speech that day, but had to do a speech on that instead. It has nothing to do with anything he was asked.
Unreal.
So he was trained, obviously, to bring that up instead of actually listen and respond to any of the questions, because he doesn't have one answer that relates to any question he's being asked.
No.
Well, and bizarrely, he like there are several lies that people have fact-checked from just this interview that are just blatantly obvious lies. And there's this tweet thread that we found, if we can bring that up, that shows like lie by lie clip of him saying it and what the lie is. It's like he saved people from drowning as a lifeguard. Lie. He received salacious pictures from women in the 70s that he handed to Secret Service. Definitely a lie.
Oh, that was a good one too. He was like, oh, I'm so hot, you know, ladies.
He was
show
arrested
up.
As a kid while standing with a black family on their porch as people were protesting desegregation, and that he was runner-up in state scoring in football, which those things could be checked. Like,
his uncle was lost to cannibals.
Yeah.
Pretty good one.
His son died at war.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not true. It turned out that he was just trying to help get the black family off the porch and out of the neighborhood.
the pretended he film. Didn't say racial jungle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, film. That's on film.
Or that he didn't drop the N-bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A bunch.
Bunch.
Yeah. Or that he didn't enjoy showering with his daughter.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, really, what's a diary in her handwriting proof? Yeah.
I can't believe that interview. That was just, dude, it was beyond cringeworthy.
Dude, 20 years ago when I was doing industrial painting, I would put on Howard Stern and just love every second of it. And I don't understand how that can possibly be the same guy.
So you think he was faking it then?
No,
or did he just degrade mentally?
No, I think since that then? I think that he became so filled with the idea of becoming this celebrity interviewer, and he lost touch with who his fans were, that this is what he's become. Now, I'm not saying that then when it was sort of, you know, I mean, he drove people to suicide. There was certainly stuff that he did that wasn't great then, even though it was entertaining. Like, there's a way to shift out of that, but he shifted out of that shock jock so hard that he completely forgot who his audience was. I can't imagine he has one listener that enjoyed him in the 90s or even 2000s, early.
He's just on Sirius XM, right?
They're the ones that pay him.
It's already a niche.
Ridiculous amounts of money. Like, but then again, this is the same guy that was also every single episode asking women to take their, you know, their shirts
right.
off in
that's
the studio.
That's what we liked.
Yes.
And then also, and that's where he got his fans.
I mean, in 97, we were 15 and we went to the theater to see Private Parts.
Private Parts, yeah.
Because we were all fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's not that long ago when you really think about it to become this.
Well, he was the anti-PC guy. Like, he was the icon of that. And he's become just this weird troll that is just nothing but the establishment. Like, that interview right there, it was just like, you did so well getting us jobs back and getting NATO and setting up the Putin. It's just so gross.
Yeah, usually when he tried to be funny, like when he did the Sherman Hemsley thing, it was really racist and cringe. When he did Buttman or Fartman, it was awful.
Right.
But when he was just genuinely talking and being funny, and like with him and Artie, there was nothing better because he was just being genuinely him.
Right.
He was brilliant. And now whenever he tries to be something, it's so awful because it's not genuine. This doesn't come off as genuine.
No, not at all. And then he's a self-proclaimed hyper-woke Democrat.
Yes.
I mean, he flat out says it.
Well, this is just the end stage of Hollywood actors, shock radios. You know, this all turned out to be the same thing. Oh, Robert De Niro, look at him. Yeah. Has lost his mind. This is just the last stage of you trying to keep any type of semblance of importance.
Which seems so odd. Because you don't have to. You don't have to go the other way either. You know, you don't have to. I just don't understand why you go against your own fan base and the people that actually like you. It just seems very strange to me to just start.
You can back off a little bit from the insanely ridiculous behavior that you did years and years ago that made you super popular. I mean, back off of that a little bit.
Yeah.
But to swing completely the opposite direction. Can you imagine anybody on a job site right now when you were talking listening to Stern and listening to that garbage?
No way.
Go, oh, this is the guy that, you know, was my radio hero. I'm like, no.
It's just another a tragedy of Trump. And it's not Trump's fault. It's their fault because their brains exploded when he came into the scene. Like, I don't, him, he has TDS, Stephen Colbert, TDS, like people that were originally funny and regardless of whatever political side you're on, you enjoyed to watch this guy. And they've just completely broken.
Well, this is a Jerry Seinfeld thing. This is exactly what he's talking about, right? Comedy used to be that you level the playing field. Didn't matter what side of the fence you were on, you were going to get dragged through the mud because that's what we do. That's what comedy's supposed to be. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable with the opinions that you have. So you're like, yeah, I am kind of like that. And it's supposed to make us all kind of get together and laugh at each other.
Yeah.
Well, and Stern used to be, you'd watch him on E, you know? And you'd not the drug, huh? But no, you'd watch him, and well, it depends. But he would bring on Ben Stiller, and the first thing he would ask was about Owen Wilson's suicide attempt. And Ben's just like, come on, Howard. Like, you were afraid to almost do the interview because you knew how uncomfortable he was going to make you.
Right.
But you did it because you also knew your movie would be a hit. So you went on and you did it.
Right.
But it was hard because he was not going to do that. Now, this is nothing but the softest of softballs and kissing the butt of every single person that he has on to make him look amazing. I don't understand.
Well, and especially this. I mean, this was completely obviously scripted. And so how can anybody walk away from this thinking they learned anything about Biden or about, you know, what he's going to do the next 4 years?
Stern is literally telling the talking points of the president so he doesn't have to.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. You're right.
Well, and for the guy who used to trash anybody who was elite, you know, he became Hampton's Howie years ago. And now it's just a different level.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Sad. It's sad, really.
It is. Well, you can see Derek and me tomorrow night at
the Dallas Comedy Club. Yes, sir.
Oh. That's in Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
And this weekend in Chandler, Arizona.
The Chandler Center for the Performing Arts.
That's ARTS.
not ARTZ. It's not fancy like that.
And where else can we see you?
We got a documentary that just came out on the Irish Comedy Tour called One for the Road that is on Amazon and also on YouTube right now. And so check that out, One for the Road. And then also May 31st and June 1st, I will be at the Traverse City Comedy Club in Traverse City, Michigan.
Where can we see you, Maddie?
In the closet crying most days. But you can also find me on Twitter. It's at Lectern Leader. So I'm just there, not on Facebook, Instagram, because don't want to give the commies any money.
Yeah, good point.
Fair enough.
I hear you.
And now we go to the end of the world. California Governor Gavin Newsom asked for the public's help in designing a new $1 bill coin that best represents what the state of California should stand for. What do you think
the size
should
of
be?
Garrett's nipples?
I was just going to say that
in the middle.
I was just going to say that.
What do you think this should be on this California nipple size coin?
My
QB.
Nipples. Obviously it needs to be something that can represent California. So a shanty town, you know, like no little tents, some homeless people, crackheads.
Sure. Yeah. Agreed. So the city of LA.
Yeah. Any city in California.
You know how to party.
I'm going to say a squatter, taking over Beverly Hills mansion.
Well played.
Gavin Newsom giving Xi Jinping a reach around.
Oh,
that's tasteful.
Well played.
Nicely done. I'm going to go with a homeless man with shit in his pants.
That's fair.
Yeah. Classic.
I'm going to say a Hollywood producer flirting with a child.
That's the one. That's the one.
Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back mañana. That's California for tomorrow.
Oh.
Good night. A question from one of our students. Let's see, Jesse Smollett. What do you recommend to already established actors who maybe could sharpen their skills in the crisis reaction genre? I feel like I sometimes make bad choices in the moment. A great question from Jesse Smollett.
Great question. Certainly very tricky. I would say study politicians, but, you know, sometimes certain stories, they can't use crisis because then they have to use union crisis actors. I've been a member of CAG my whole life, so gets iffy.
What is your favorite word in the English language?
Well, it is technically two, but I count it because it's hyphenated. Mall shooting.
Yes. 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 What is your favorite sound?
Probably the stirring of macaroni and cheese, you know, gives a lot of... Like you're being fisted.
Glorious. If heaven exists, what do you want the devil to say when you arrive in hell?
Down here, you get your own room.
Red hot! Timothy Garrick. Thank you for watching Inside the Crisis Actors Studio. Joining us on our next episode will be David Hogg. Good night.
He's not that good.
He's really not that good.
He looks